for your audience members, I'm going to encourage all 40 of you guys. Here's what I want you guys to do right now. Pause this. Go give Andy a 5-star review on his The Flip Side podcast. Go give him a 5-star review because what he's doing is hard work. So support your creators. Give him a 5-star review. Share this with your friends and family and be like, hey, Andy's doing a great work. All right.
Hey guys, this is another episode of The Flip Side. Today I have a person named Josh Wilson. I first came across him through LinkedIn. I've been going hard on LinkedIn lately, so I've been a big fan of other LinkedIn creators, and I sort of went through his profile. He has a podcast. He's sort of doing a lot of interesting things, so I really wanted to bring him on. I reached out to him. He got back to me, and I'm really, really excited to have you on, and I'm really appreciative for your time today, Josh.
Yeah. So I'm actually in the future. I'm in Florida, and it is 5 o'clock at the time, at 5 p.m., and it's 7 o'clock where you are, so I'm letting you know. The future looks great. Actually, are you in the future? Is it Friday where you're at, or Saturday?
Saturday morning.
Oh, so you're in the future. You beat me, man. How does the future look? Is it pretty awesome?
It looks pretty awesome. The weather in Australia, we're starting getting into summer, so it's starting to get warmer. But yeah, it's been a pretty solid week. It's now the weekend, and I'm pretty excited.
Dang it, I thought I was ahead of you. Well, so yeah, man, here in Florida, I run 3 podcast shows. I've built 10, sold one. I've done 1,000 interviews across the years of doing it. And we're going to do 500 probably this year, 500 interviews, episodes. And we started investing in doing podcast shows with other people. So glad we're connected. I'm always happy to support other podcasters and content creators because it's fun. But it's also a lot of work. So I value the work that you do there, Andy. Good job, man.
Thank you so much, Josh. So did I hear that correctly? You said you built 10 podcasts?
I kind of lost count. I've been doing it for maybe 8 years or so. I built some, had some really great successes. And then I've had some that were like massive flops. And you know, that's been part of the journey and the story. We focus on, you know, our firm focuses on, you know, our media on monetization and mission. So like we got to figure out ways to make money doing what we love doing, which is creating, educating, inspiring. So it's got to have a money aspect, but it's also got to drive a mission forward, or I'm just going to lose interest with my ADD. So yeah, I think we built 10. I run 3 now. I sold one, and we started investing in others. We got a handful that we've built for others.
That's beautiful. And at the moment with my podcast, like I've done it for, it's been 2 years. We're sort of at episode, I think this episode's maybe around 105, 106, and we do one every single week. And across like YouTube and Spotify and audio, so with audio, we might get maybe 6 to 10 listeners. And then from YouTube, we might get around 25 to 30 at minimum, and if the episode pops off, then it might get like 100, 150. But our bottom baseline would be a total of like around 30 to 40 or 35 people. And that bottom baseline has stayed still for a long, long time. Sometimes, like as we said, we'll get the spikes where an episode will get 100, 200. And over time, episodes usually add up and sort of reach 100 over a few months. So there's a slow burn, but I do feel like my bottom base, my core, what is that shop each week, that has plateaued. What would your tips be, Josh?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And kudos for you, Andy, for pushing forward. I think the stats are, I mean, everybody says they want to do a podcast. I should build a podcast, right? I think the majority of people who say that will never do it. I think a lot of people have done episode 1 and then they fail. I think the drop off after episode 1 to 3 is like 70% or something like that. And then very few people make it past 12 episodes. So for you to be a few years into it, a 100 episodes into it, like awesome work, man. It is so tough to do that. So when it comes to an audience, right? I've had a few shows, you know, one show that we run is top 5% global popularity. and it's fun. I've had a show that hit iTunes top of charts and I had massive audience right there. And then I had shows that were like complete flop. Audience is tricky, dude, especially now that anybody could stand up a podcast overnight. Audience acquisitions is something that people are throwing massive money towards to try to accumulate audience. And I'm assuming here that you're not doing any ad spend or any type of growth hacking, fake download kind of thing, right? Like, so yours is organic. Okay, cool. The question is, how do you break through a plateau? Is that the question?
I think the question would be, maybe, is it normal to be stuck at like that 20 to 25 base for a period of like half a year or even more? And do I just keep at it and it will sort of eventually grow? Because I do get those sort of spikes, and maybe which each one of those spikes, maybe two people convert and become long-term fans and viewers, and they watch every episode. And I just have to like keep relying on those spikes that maybe come every 4 to 6 weeks, and it'll just slowly grow ever so slowly. And maybe by the 5 year mark, there'll be this random sort of exponential sort of snowball happening. And this is completely normal what I'm going through.
What I'm going to say is probably going to be counterintuitive to a lot of people. I'll answer your question. The audience growth is about proper SEO, proper description, proper marketing on the back end, proper tagging, descriptions, snippets, a lot of post-production like hustle of like getting this out, getting it out into multiple feeds, having people to push it, right? Push to the original episode. That's a lot of work. We don't do any of that. We are not, our business model is not audience dependent. I don't even check some of the stats on my shows, even though like some of them have done okay. The audience is tricky, man. They're running around listening to a podcast or maybe watching YouTube. You know, they might be watching this. There are, you know, 100 people that might watch us or whatever. They might have it running on in the background. They're distracted. They're not going to like stop what they're doing and download. They're not going to stop what they're doing and change their behavior and, you know, send this to over their 4 friends and, you know, give you a 5-star rating, right? Like, unless we make it very easy for them to do so. So let me do this. Andy, for your audience members, I'm going to encourage all 40 of you guys. Here's what I want you guys to do right now. Pause this. Go give Andy a 5-star review on his The Flip Side podcast. Go give him a 5-star review because what he's doing is hard work. Like, go lift up the podcast creators. Go encourage them and say what you're doing is important. Give him a testimonial. Like, for you guys enjoying this free content out there, like, it's a lot of work. So support your creators. Give them a 5-star review. Share this with your friends and family and be like, hey, Andy's doing a great work. All right. So Andy, back to you. Unless like the audience is directed exactly what to do, they just don't do anything except consume. So we got to direct and encourage the audience. All right. Things like, hey, if you found this helpful, review, like, share, comment, whatever. And then also like pull in some of the people, be like, hey, by the way, we just got a 5-star review from Josh. Josh, shout out to Josh and his podcast, whatever the case may be. So those are some audience guiding principles, but our business model does not depend on it because the audience, like I said, is very tricky, man. We've had shows that had a lot. And then we had shows that had none. And then I've had shows that before I even launched a show, I was making money on because my, you know, my shows and my deals are with my sponsors, my partners, my guest, my inner circle. So, you know, you have studying.com and all these groups where you have hundreds of members in it. Like, that's your inner circle. Like, that's where the core value is. That's where there's gold, right? In your inner circle, these people that had this close connection, start creating an inner circle. And then the audience members get to see into the inner circle. But man, there's a block. To get past the block, you have to start paying or you have to start contributing. You have to start adding value as an audience member. And I just know that being a content creator, man, it's a lot of work. And sometimes it's lonely, man, even though you're interfacing with hundreds of people every day. And, you know, it could be a grind. So kudos to you. I value what you're doing. Andy, nice work.
Thank you so much, Josh. I really appreciate that tip. And I think I'm definitely going to take that on. I think I'm going to start definitely recommending people to review and sort of give them the exact instructions, just like you beautifully did there. So thank you. And I'll probably do that maybe at the beginning and at the end of every single episode. But tell me more, like, how do you not rely on views? Isn't views what would get you the sponsors that will then allow you to monetize the podcast? Tell me more about this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's such a great question, Andy. Everybody in the world is fighting for audience, and there's people out there with more money than you and me buying audience. Yeah, we have the top rated whatever show, but they're spending $5,000. I just got off a phone with a guy who's spending $10,000 a month on his podcast show. Yeah, no crap. You're going to have, you know, the top rated show because you've invested $100,000 into pushing audience, right? When you incentivize it like that, like, I don't have that kind of money to just invest in a podcast show. I've got multiple businesses. I got 3 kids, you know, one of them's in diapers, right? So if everybody's running one direction and they have more resources, we have to find, as an entrepreneur, have to find a better route that fits us. So all of our deals, typically what we do is we spend time with our ideal customers. We will interview people who are real estate investors, who are buying and selling businesses, who are growing and scaling things. So I get a one-on-one conversation with a guy like Andy. And by the end of the call, Andy goes, "Hey, Josh, we should do a deal together." And I'm like, "Great." So we stop record. We structure a deal. You and I are doing some cool stuff. And it doesn't matter if my mom listens to the episode or not. There's a deal to be had. So I structure our sponsorships and our deal flow. That is something that I have control over, is who gets on my podcast show, right? So I go on the hunt leveraging podcast shows and our media and our brands to do something that I could do the best, is spend time with people, get to know them, find out their needs, their wants, their desires, and then I could connect the dots in a business structure that values all parties involved. The audience is non-dependent on it. I have a show called Uncensored Advice for Men. We talk to pastors and porn stars and kind of everything in between, and it is not dependent on an audience member doing anything. If they do something, that's great. It's an impact show, right? So that's what I think, Andy. I think the business model needs to be flipped, and unless you've got that money, do you, to invest $10,000 a month and just paying Facebook, making Mark Zuckerberg richer to get more downloads and such? Otherwise, man, invest in the business, invest in the core circle, your inner circle, which is involved in strategic partners, clients, customers. You bundle them all together and you could get paid, you know, multiple times on one interview, one interaction. That's the way I look at it, man.
That's awesome. So yeah, I've heard people do this before where they'll create a podcast and they'll sort of bring on people who are their ideal customers. And after 1 hour, you sort of really get to know the customer, you build that relationship. So by the end of that hour, you can really easily sort of put together a deal. Now, what if your business is more B2C, where you're sort of, you know, our customers are the everyday people that work a 9-to-5 job and they want to quit the job to start an online business. They have a relatable story and they want to quit their job. Like I thought about, like, what if I brought on like people that work at 9-to-5 and ask them, why do you hate your job? Why do you want to start on your online business? But then you'll get a bunch of similar stories in different work fields. Would it work in that scenario?
Yeah. Interesting. All right. So your ideal listener, someone working 9-to-5 who wants to crack free from the rat race and they want to start their own business, e-com, drop ship, FBA, whatever, right? Like that's your jam. And then you get involved and then you do it with them, right? They pay you some money and then you run the distance with them, right?
Correct.
Okay. So a lot of these people, first of all, to be clear, they might not have disposable income to jump over from being in the 9-to-5 kind of thing, having disposable income and the desire and the pain point to jump over and work, you know, spend $1,500 a month with you or however much you spend and jump. So number one is having the very clear idea of who our audience is. Do they have money to actually jump into the offers that we're offering them? Do they have the ability to go for it? And I'm super passionate because I built a show that did really, really, really well in terms of an audience, and I didn't have a strong offer. And it fell flat on its face because it didn't have a strong offer, and I was connecting with the wrong audience. So I was pretty much just making noise, getting likes and comments and accolades and high fives from people overseas going, wow, I just saw you iTunes top of list. And I go, wow, I'm going broke doing it. Like, so, you know, I love when you find your, you know, the ideal group of people that you want to serve, got to make sure that they're willing to reciprocate. How can they reciprocate? By buying, investing, paying for your services. And if not, then you got to figure out another business model. And if it's just for fun, if it's just for mission, then go for it. Have fun. You know, like that's my thinking, man. And I'm sorry if I'm excited about this and that I'm, you know, energetic about this, but I've been there and I've made a lot of business mistakes. And I just love seeing a passionate entrepreneur who has the desire to help people. But I just want to make sure that I help them well by giving them truth.
That's beautiful, Josh. So your recommendation is even narrow down the criteria first. So let's say if I narrow it down, my usual ideal customer would be someone that is roughly around, say, 35 to 45. They've made some money. They might have one or two kids. They work in a corporate setting. They have a mortgage. They're probably maybe working finance, accounting, sales. And they work in that corporate setting. So given that I'm able to narrow it down to that, now do I just go on LinkedIn, narrow the search down to those group of people? They're like, hey, you look like I've seen you like, or I see you part of some Facebook group that's interested in e-commerce because I've saw that keyword on your profile, on one of your posts. Would you be interested in coming on my show and sharing about your story about why you want to transition from your job to potentially starting your own business? It's a 30-minute chat, and I think our audience would love to hear your story. Would that be the right approach, Josh? Or?
Interesting. Maybe. So, all right. So let's just have some fun there, Andy. How much is your service or product? Or do you have courses, right? Online courses? How much are your online courses?
Around 3,000 USD.
Okay, around 3,000 bucks. Do those younger people working 9 to 5 have the money to pay for that? Probably not, right? Maybe one out of 500 people have that extra money laying around, or that, you know, they got a birthday gift, a graduation gift, and that they'll throw it in, right? Then you have the next tier up. Guy's in his 40s, you know, he's working hard, wife and kids, he's grinding, he's got some extra money. He's just like, I need a hobby and I want to make some extra money on the side, a side hustle. Maybe one day that creates it. I've got $3,000 laying around. Sure, I can invest in that, right? So how do you get in front of those kind of people? Well, I'm looking here on your LinkedIn. Andy is obsessed with making money since he was 8. The Sydney teenager is earning $170,000 from his bedroom. That's on news.com.au, right? That an accurate story? So you made 170 grand from your bedroom. Don't you think that a guy who's hustling in the US, the median income is around 42 grand a year? So here this teenager has made 170 grand, which is, if I do the numbers right, what, four times the yearly income of the average, right? The median or whatever that is, right? So if I would you, I would be sharing some of those stories kind of on the front end, be like, hey, this is how I've done it. So you're the perfect testimony of going, hey, everybody, here's a little bit of how I've done it. This is a free thing that I'm going to share through YouTube and through my podcast. This is how I do it. If you want to do it, just let you know that it's going to cost you to get to these kind of results, but I'm happy to do it with you, right? So I would just share more of your story, and then I would bring on other people like you who have also done something, and I'd structure a deal with them. Say, hey, listen, you've made a great living selling e-commerce businesses and doing this and that. Let's do a joint alliance. So you have someone who's doing it, has something to sell. Say, let's create something together. We'll both throw in 10 grand. Or 20 or whatever. Let's build something cool. Let's sell it and we'll split in the upside. So now you're interviewing people like you who have created some success, inspiring other people, and you have a joint offer. Now you're hitting their audience with the offer and hitting your audience with the offer. So now you start to scale. You start to get some traction because you're tapping in, like Pitbull, the rapper, right? And the reason he became one of the most famous rappers is he rented a studio and rented some mics and such like that. And he started reaching out to a bunch of artists. Hey, do you want to come on my show? Do you want to come on my platform? Do you want to do a song together? Yeah, come on. It doesn't matter. Let me open up my audience. And he started doing like all these joint ventures and other rap art, you know, Pitbull and Yin Yang Twins and this guy and that. And before you knew it, he had his own audience and everybody looked up and go, where the hell did he come from? He's been borrowing audiences by lifting other people up. Same model. You could just be Andy, the rapper who does it over there. But that's how I would structure it. Bring on the people who are doing it, structure the deals. And then when you go to that guy who's working that job, being like, hey, I got a question for you. You know, like, this is what you're doing. What's this? Why aren't you doing something on the side? Or are you? I'd ping them those kind of questions. And he goes, nah, man, I really want to. Cool. How about we do this? Let's get something going. And then in 6 months, we'll interview you about the success of what we've done together. We've got a revenue sharing model. You go through our training program, our mastermind program, and we've got a shared revenue model. Then the audience, the 9-to-5 students who have no money, put them to work. Say, listen, I've got an army of students at studying.com, 400, 800, however many, that are willing to work on your e-com business. They just need a little bit of money. You could pay them 10, 15 bucks an hour. They'll do all the work. I'm going to teach them how to do it. They're going to do the work, and you get the benefit. You get to be the CEO of the organization. I'll put an army to work for you. That's how my brain works. Like, you've got an army of people, studying.com, who have no money that want to make money. You go get the guy who has the money to invest a little bit of money. They do all the work with your guidance and leadership. Now, this guy's making an extra 170 grand. And then these students are making, you know, 10, 20, 30 bucks an hour. But they're getting an education of a lifetime of how to build a business online. Sorry, man. I just went fast. My brain just went.
This is so amazing, Josh. So given that my podcast, I bring in a lot of people like you, a lot of people who are creators, people who sort of, a lot of them sort of are in the consulting space. They have something to teach. And usually by the end of each podcast, I'm usually like, hey, like, this is a great episode. Thank you so much for your time. Please let me know if there's anything I could do to help. Like if it comes to marketing, Facebook ads, hiring virtual assistants. We have like 20 employees from the Philippines and, you know, we pay them roughly 400 to 500 USD per hour, and they do an amazing job. That's like $3 an hour. So if you need help hiring virtual assistants, let me know. So I'm finding ways to give the person value and sort of build a relationship. But this JV thing takes that to a whole nother level. What type of JV opportunities do you usually do, or what would you recommend? Would you give like a different idea and deal with each person, or do you have a general JV deal that you sort of offer to majority of the people you bring on?
Yeah, interesting. So a lot of my deals are in real estate, right? I've got real estate, people buying and selling businesses, and all the things and the ancillary services around that. Mm. Let's just use commercial real estate, for example. You have brokers, someone who goes and lists that building, right? And then you have the broker who brings the buyer. There's a lot of deals just in that. Right. You have, you know, all of the title work, you have the legal work, you have the actual brokerage relationship, you have the marketing that the listing broker had to do all this marketing to get that guy, that the buyer to come on in, right? They have their website, they have their marketing program. How do you get more listings? So within a deal ecosystem, and once you know your deal ecosystem, there are so many deals to be had. So, for example, we can get a relationship going with a broker, someone who lists properties to sell. For example, there's 10 different service providers that want to talk with that one broker. So what should I do? I should go have a conversation with all 10 of those service providers, get them to offer or get them to work together, create a joint venture with me, where if I bring them an introduction to a broker, they'll pay me 10% of their service fee. So if that broker goes, yeah, man, we're really having a hard time with our website. I go, cool. I've got a guy who specializes, guy or gal, who specializes in websites for brokers. Would you like an introduction? Oh my gosh, yes, we need one bad. Awesome, man. Let me make an introduction, email introduction, and let them take over from there.
That's cute.
Yeah, once you know the deal ecosystem that you're working in, there's so many deals to be had just with one relationship. But I think what happens is everybody's focused on the audience and missing the relationships that are right in front of them. They got a community. You've got a community of 800 people, right? Studying.com. Crushing it, right? Literally, there's so many value ladders just within that. There's the, hey, come to this free group. This is a group that we all learn. We learn from great entrepreneurs. Hey, if you want to join into a little bit of an inner circle, get some exclusive content, don't worry. It's not a lot. It's only $97 a year. And I let you in on the back end of my podcast interviews. You can ask, you know, questions to our guests. Let's just say only 10 people or 10% of your 800, 80 people say yes to that. 80 times 100 bucks, that's $8,000 right there out of thin air, right? And then you just have different value ladders within this, man. Like, you are sitting on a gold mine, Andy.
This is beautiful. This opens a whole other perspective because you're right. There's so much lost opportunity with podcasts because no one really tries to do a deal or partner up with the guests they bring on. They sort of bring it on, create that audience. They might have the guests share the episode. So that's like an extra cherry on top, but that's the furthest they take it. So this idea of really trying to see if you can add value to every single guest you bring on, see if there's a deal to be made, is such a beautiful and different and unique perspective, Josh.
Think about this. Like, you're in the future, right? You spent so much time trying to, and you probably had some automation, you probably had a virtual assistant, but to get me on your show cost you resources. You didn't pay me anything, right? Like, I'm doing this for free. But you spent time, we did back and forth conversations, and eventually we had to compromise. I had to stay late at work, you had to wake up early for us to do this interview. That was so many back and forths of time, energy, focus, follow-up. You've spent so much time to create a relationship with me. Most podcasters get the person, get the guest, and then at the end of the day, they give them some content to share, and then the relationship's done. The cost of acquisition for a guest is massive. Then you have a relationship established, but a lot of people just drop it there. So their retention on a relationship is zero because then they're on to the next cool guest, the next shiny object, the next TikTok influencer who's not going to do a damn thing for them. So the podcast creator, you, are just drumming through relationships onto the next influencer, onto the next influencer, blah, 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 boom. And you look back and you go, wow, I've interviewed famous people, international best-selling authors, and I've interviewed politicians and billionaires and like all these things. And I look back and I go, man, I'm missing out an opportunity to build a relationship. Now, the way we structure it is we do interviews and I get their cell phone number in there and we're texting each other. And I'm working on taking a company public through text messages. And I'm like, hey, you should chat with so-and-so and I'm going to get a percentage of the deal. Right. So that's where I think people need to stop being TikTok famous and just create cool value for the people in their community that they're working in. Right. So that's where our PR firm is like, we're done with this crap. We're done with placating to, you know, whatever Facebook algorithms might be or however much Mark Zuckerberg's getting every time I throw a dollar at him. I'm just done with it. Done. So now we just focus on building relationships with people that we want to do deals with and getting paid.
That is so awesome, Josh. And how would you go about, or like what type of deals and how would you sort of pitch deals? For example, I just wrote down 4 ideas and would this be correct? So I were like, hey, Josh, this was an amazing chat. I'd love to see if there's something we could do together. Here's 4 ideas that I just thought of randomly in the last 5 minutes. Like, one, do your real estate agent audience, like everyone's, do they need help building a website? Can we work together where I give you a team and we work together and help your sort of audience build their own website for their real estate business. Two, maybe a lot of your creators, a lot of your real estate people, they want to create a personal brand. They want to get in TikTok, but they don't know how to start. We have a TikTok account. We went from zero to 90K on autopilot. Is that something your audience need help creating? Is that something we could potentially work? Three, four, is that the right approach? Where I just have a bunch of ideas. I'm like, hey, Josh, is there something we could do here?
Yeah. So people get option fatigue, one, right? So you probably want to bring someone more, think more of a value ladder instead of options, right? If, you know, sometimes you go to a restaurant, let's say you've been to the same restaurant 1,000 times, you go to a restaurant and there's a ton of options. You're going to be like, oh my God, just let me see a picture. That looks good. Or recommendation from the waiter, right? So I think option fatigue is super heavy, and you probably don't want to do this in the setting of podcast interview unless they're expecting that. Because if you know, if you dive straight into a sales call, I'm going to be like, ah, he got me. All right. Now I'm just sitting here cause I'm being polite. But then afterwards I'm going to go, ah, man, thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good day. No, I don't need that. So you have to really think of what's your value proposition. And here's a misalignment of value proposition. You made 170 grand, right? From your bedroom doing something. I don't even know what you do, right? After our call, if we're talking about a website, I'm going, what am I missing here? This guy made 170 grand and he's offering me a $3 an hour employee. Like, no, man, you need, because of your success and because of what you've accomplished, you need to have something big ass deal to put together. You should be pitching big stuff, especially if you made that much money. If you're pitching little things, I'm going to go, something's off here. So your value proposition has to align with the success and the value that you've created already. Just my opinion. And I might be wrong. Like I said, I've been wrong a lot. But if we're doing an interview and you're like, yeah, Josh, man, we did a course last month and we were able to take it from zero to 9K last month. You know, like, what's your view on that? Like, how would you do something different? I'm like, wow, you made 9 grand on a course? Like, let's do a deal together, right? You're having me lean in to your success. It's a difference, man. I'm happy to keep going on this, but I don't want to monopolize this conversation and just keep running with my crazy ass ideas.
Totally appreciate that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Prior, you said that there was a guy you met who pushed 10K per month into his podcast and was able to rank his podcast on the charts that easy with 10K a month. Where and what is he putting his money towards to push his podcast that high up the charts?
So I don't know the success that he has. I just know his budget.
Okay.
Because I was asking him, I was like, you know, how's it going? Because he's asking me, hey, Josh, how do I grow my audience? How do I do this? And I'm like, what are you currently doing? I'm paying 10 grand a month. And I have a video editor who's chopping up all my interviews. And I have this person. So he's spending 10,000 a month. And I don't even know the success he has on that show. All right. He could be crushing it. I don't know. But to me, I'd rather invest $10,000 a month into my business model, into my community, and let the community accumulate in value. You've got a value right under your nose. So like, what can you do to accumulate audience? Dude, you could go on a podcast tour. You jump on other people's podcast. You have a very clean call to action where you jump on someone's podcast show and you say, hey, Josh, thanks for letting me be on your show. By the way, I made a specific call to action for your audience. I have a course that can show you how I made 170 grand in 9 months doing this. I create a specific, call to action for Josh's audience. Text this number, 555, whatever it is, and just mention podcast show. And that's specific to your audience, Josh. And by the way, anybody who signs up for it, I'm going to give you 75% of the course fee. I'll be like, oh, dude, as a podcast guest, I'm going to be like, keep coming back on my show, right? Because you're making me money. Most podcasters don't make money. We do. But like, that's how to grow an audience, is go on a podcast tour, get a good PR firm to represent you, get you into strategic PR groups, create a specific strategic call to action when you're going on someone's show. And as they do it, give the podcast host a bunch of money. Say, hey, man, how can I make you a lot of money, podcast host? Right? That's how I'd approach it. That'll get you in front of a bunch of people.
That's awesome. And if you had, say, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, the person who wants to start a podcast, they want to jumpstart it. They don't want to sort of spend 2 years like I've done, and they want to put in like maybe $2,000-$3,000 behind their podcast per month. How would you recommend them use that money? What's the most efficient way to?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, great question. All right, so they're good at interviewing people. Let's just assume, like you, the model is this, is I interview people, but I would pay, there's groups out there. I can make a few recommendations. Let me think of the, is it Salescaster? Anyways, there's a few groups of my friends that do podcast production, like $1,500 a month or something like that. And you pretty much record and, you know, hit stop record. They chop it up. They do 4 episodes a month. They'll do images. They'll do snippets. They're going to help you with your media. So like, that's hands off. Then you've got an extra $400 to $1,000 a month or whatever that you can invest in a PR firm to help you find great guests, to go out there pitching guests for your show, right? And then you take the rest of whatever money's left, and then you go on a tour where you do that. So if you have $3,000 a month to spend, that's what I would do. Offload your production, because as content creators, you're going to get into a situation where you do all this work and you're like, that was the best interview ever. And then you're going to have 40 episodes under your belt. And then you got to go back and do all the post-production, which is going to make you want to blow your brains out. And you're going to also want to edit out all the ums and all the screw-ups and all the, you know, the mistakes that you had in it. And it's just going to make, drive you nuts. Pay someone to do it. Create content, create deals. Like, that's where you should spend all of your time.
That's so beautiful. So like buying iTunes reviews, buying downloads is not worth it.
Not worth it at all. Stupid. It's KPIs that it's KPIs that don't produce a return. Nobody ever has gotten paid for a like or a comment. You know, like you can't go cash in. I've got 20 something thousand followers on LinkedIn. Not one of them just out of the blues just sends me money just because they're like, oh, we like Josh. Here's some money, right? I would spend all the money on the business model and the machine, the systems, the processes. Get the machine running, get the business model running that's not dependent on an audience, and crush it that way. That's what I would do. Buy a coach. Save up $10,000, get a coach to walk you through it. Refine your systems, your processes, your operations, your product, your service, your ideal customer. Pay a coach to do that. It's going to catapult you forward, and then apply that to then your production. That's how to spend money.
That's so awesome. Josh, tell me a bit about your long-term goal. Do you want to sort of build more podcasts? Are you pretty focused on the current 3 you have? Do you want to, what's the plan for the next 5 years, Josh?
I'll give you next year. I'll give you the next year. We're going to do 500 episodes on ours. We're going to run a few others for some of our hidden partners. I'm going to probably stand up 10 more shows for strategic people that, as I see, they've got a strong business model, a proven business model, and that media can help it support it and make it go faster. We're going to launch up 10 new shows. Our group is expanding. So we have a COO coming in and a production person who's taken this crap off my plate, right? So our team's grown. We got partners and investors. So yeah, I want to invest and help build, you know, maybe 10 more shows. Our group has helped put over $330 million worth of deals together through our shows. I want to cross $1 billion maybe next year, right? That'd be pretty cool. Now, that's for our partners. Not all will close. But when it does, it puts out a big payday for our group. So why not cross $1 billion?
That's super cool. How long have you been doing the podcast, and how many guests and people have you talked to over that time period?
So I started my first one maybe 2016, 15 or 16, and I've done well over 1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Uncensored Advice for Men just published its 200th. The Deal Scout, it's about 150. CRE Principles is our newest show. That's maybe like 4 episodes in. And then we have some partners and such like that. But yeah, we're cranking, man.
That's crazy. And just off those 1,000 people that you've met and talked with and you sort of kept in contact with, sort of continued that relationship, just churning that pot, you've been able to build your company around that, I guess, and sort of connect people. If you're like, hey, I talked to this person, I think that person could help, and just being a connector of all those people.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we stumbled upon this model a year and a half ago, two years ago. So in the past, I've interviewed a ton of people that I didn't cultivate the relationship, but I did it wrong. Man, I remember doing this. I interviewed a guy who managed billions of dollars of real estate and investments, right? This guy was a baller. And I interviewed him and he was like, hey, Josh, how can I help? And I'm like, well, I've got a LinkedIn training course for $79. Like, would you like to learn how to do LinkedIn? He's like, no, what? He's like, no, that's where value has to align with the person you're pitching it to. He doesn't touch LinkedIn. He has a team of people doing it. So like, I just had to restructure a lot of my offer and what I've learned over the years. But since we've relearned how to do things, yeah, man, I'd interview someone and then they invite me to their mansion. They invite me on a trip with them. They invite me to come hang out with them and their friends, right? So it's a great way once you cultivate an actual relationship. I like to keep relationships alive. And it's also, Andy, it's a great way to sniff out bullshit and also to find people that you don't want to do deal with. I've interviewed people and I'm like, there's no way I'd want to hang out with this guy or girl. And I'm like, ah, thanks for the interview. Have a great day. I'll tag you when it goes live, right? Peace.
That's so true. That's, I think, I want to get you advice on something, Josh. That's something I sort of struggle with. I'm pretty, like, I love sort of connecting and keeping a relationship, following up, sharing with them, hey, the episode did great, and always sort of continuing that, letting them that know that, you know, I still exist and I appreciated the first time we sort of chatted, and I want to keep in communication. If there's anything I can do to help, I'd love to help. But going from just being friendly and keeping that connection alive and trying to offer any value possible to potentially pitching a deal, that phase, that's what I get really, yeah, not nervous, but I feel maybe I haven't structured it in a way where it doesn't feel too iffy for me, because it feels like I'm asking for something and I usually never ask, because you're right, I am in a situation where I don't need to ask. I've made money and I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing. I'd love to make more and sort of create partnerships, but I don't need to ask, and I'm scared the moment I do that ask, it changes the relationship.
Yeah. I love doing deals. I love, love, love business. It's my purpose, man. I'm supposed to invest in people. I'm supposed to build things. I'm never going to retire. Like, I absolutely love what I'm doing. So if I'm doing that which I love to do, that which I'm created to do, that which like gives me joy and peace and everything, it's just aligned with, I've got it tattooed on my arm. It says, who am I? I am in my zone and I'm passionate about it. When I'm talking with a deal maker, like, they're the same way. My people love creating deals. So 99% of the time after I get off an interview, they're asking me, how do we do deals together? Right? Because I found my fit. Mm-hmm. I think, Andy, not to critique, but to give constructive like encouragement to you, I think just finding your fit, like your right fit. You slinging $3 an hour, you know, workforce and such like that's probably a wrong fit. Mm-hmm. I think with a little bit of work, man, I think you have the right fit where it's just like, man, you could flip the script. If you could go, hey, I'm using this podcast to find cool opportunities to invest in. I've got some extra money that I'm looking for cool deals to invest in. Hey, man, why don't you come on the show and tell me about your deals and what you're working on? And I've got money. Maybe I'll invest next to you. That changes the dynamic, doesn't it? You know? Yeah, your audience right now, stop, give him an amazing 5-star review and lift him up, man. Share his episodes and share his content and encourage him. Go, Andy, you're making a difference through the content you're creating. So you audience members, go do that if you've found this interview valuable. Hope you guys have a great day, man.
Thank you so much, Josh. Josh, before you leave, where can people find more about what you do? Where can they listen to you, get advice from you? Where's the best places to get for people, my audience, to get in touch with you?
I would say probably the best way to connect is on LinkedIn, right? So you could put that in the show notes, you know, or you could find me on Joshua, you know, Bruce Wilson, the LinkedIn thing. But that's a great way to kind of get this conversation started. I use LinkedIn as my journal, both professional and personal. So I just share all the shit of my life, of what's going on. So that's a good way to keep in contact and then also learn along with me as I learn things.
Thank you so much for your time today, Josh. I really, really appreciate it. I just love how passionate you are. I definitely learned a lot of things within the podcast space. So I definitely know that you know what you're doing and you've taken a really more unique approach and you see what people are struggling with when it comes to creating podcasts. And you know how hard it is to build an audience. So you've got this amazing new approach to the podcast space. So I really appreciate your time and I can definitely see how passionate and how much you really, really love what you're doing. So thank you so much for your time today.
Cool. And then you and I should connect after you hit stop record, but great spending some time with you, man.
Most definitely. That's another episode of the podcast. If you guys made it this far, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. Please let me know your thoughts. Please give me a review. I'm going to start reading out every new review I find on iTunes and Spotify. So please do that. And I'll see you guys next week with another episode. Peace.